Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings to my Muslim guests. We say assalamu alaikum. Everybody else, greetings. May the peace that only God has be with you. This is Nazim Rashid, author. Nazim Abdul Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Yes, yes, yes. Quite excited today. This is our 21st installment of the series entitled Improving, Repairing, Preparing for Marriages. Yeah, 21st installment. So I highly recommend that you go in the archives, go online, www.blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Scroll down and you'll see the series and download them all. Download them all to your hard drive. You can do that. Click on the show and you see our pictures there. Look above, you'll see a tiny little cloud. You know, they don't make it that easy on Blog Talk, unfortunately. Anyway, you'll see a little cloud. Click on that and it will download to your hard drive. And then you got to rename it and then you have it. So we can get this. We need all the tools we can get for the best marriages possible. All based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. So like I've been doing for the past 21 episodes, is going through the book and expounding on what's applicable to marriages, because there's a lot of things in there. It relates to drug addictions in there. If you want to look at your own drug recovery, you can do that with this book. Parenting skills can be improved, yeah, all those things. This is a multi-purpose manual. A parent's manual, a recovery manual, a marriage manual, you see? All those things are in there, you know? And it's very important to understand that we can get the best life we can have. Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, if we just learn how to take care of those old wounds from childhood. And that's the real basis of my book, learning how to go back in time and change those negative feelings we have always carried along with us, all right? Change them to a positive. You can do that with this book, yes. Yes. By the way, I have 20 years in mental health and counseling fields. 20 years in mental health counseling fields. So I've got a lot of experience, a lot of stories from clients, which I have in this book. So it's very good. So I can speak to recovering audiences, negative business. I can speak to couples who want to get married or, you know, repair those who are in marriages now. Parents, absolutely. Teachers, yeah, yeah. So you can learn more empathy skills. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody just wants to get closer and have a better relationship with God. Yeah, those are available in this book. Absolutely. Remember, let me go through the chapters real quick. You know, for those who are just hearing this for the first time. Forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions. 12 principles of recovery, identifying and managing emotions, which we're going to talk about today. The last one, how to be a mentor to your child self. Yes, I can teach you how to go back in time and redo those old scenarios. Yeah, when you got a black eye from your sister when you're 9, and your father left you, you felt abandoned. And you carry those old wounds with you still. And those things interrupt a healthy marriage that you're always seeking. Yeah. Yeah. I tell people all the time, look, don't get married just because some religious person, leader, or someone just, you know, wants to make you feel guilty because you're single. Not until you're ready. Do not do it until you're ready to do that. Now, when you're ready to do that, and the other person is also ready, they're ready too. Hey, by all means. Get married, by all means, when it's right. When you don't have that baggage from the past, you might say, everybody's got baggage they're carrying. Everybody doesn't carry negative baggage. No, you carry your belief systems. We're talking about what's healthy, what's not healthy. Everybody does not carry unhealthy baggage into the relationship. Everybody doesn't do that. Yeah, it doesn't do that. You know, you might see a positive images on TV and say, well, that's only Hollywood. No, Those things can happen. We have doctors and lawyers marrying our community, janitors and waitresses marrying in our community, and it's still healthy. Yes, absolutely. Everybody doesn't fuss and fight and have knocked down the arguments in the household, acting ugly in front of your kids. You know? No, no. So we can have the best marriage possible. So we need to claim it, say we're worth it, and we can have it. We can have it. All right? Now you can get this reconnected at Barnes Noble and Amazon. My website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. Okay? There's an ebook version also in case you have the Nook or the Kindle. All right? Now, last week we talked about basically the benefits, you know, of sharing your spiritually connected married life. You know, we went through the whole 12 principles of recovery as it applies to marriages. You know, we took several times, installments to do that. But we did it. We finally finished last week. Last week was the 12th principle there. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk about identifying and managing emotions. You know, that's very, very critical to a healthy marriage. Knowing how to first identify and manage those emotions so you don't operate from the emotional part of your brain as a lot of us do, if not most of us. We got the mammalian brain, reptilian brain, and the prefrontal cortex in the front that you have to consciously go to in order to make rational, logical decisions. Yeah. Understand that. Yeah, you can't have a lackadaisical mindset when it comes to living or thinking or handling situations, problem solving, being in relationships, being in a healthy marriage. You can't do that. No. Now, what happens is that if you don't consciously go to the front where the seat of intelligence is, you're going to hang out in the back. That's instinct and emotion back there. That's the same as the animals. Remember, one is mammalian, like the mammals. One is reptilian, like the reptiles, cold-blooded, hot-blooded. Okay? You share those natures. So if you want to be the upright thinking human being that we are designed to be, we have to consciously go to the front where the thinking center is and live a conscious life. That takes effort on our part. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Okay? Now, identifying and managing emotions is so, so, so very key there. So very key. Because we have to treat our mates like the precious creations of God as they are. We're all born in the excellent mode. Don't think otherwise. You see? You're born in the excellent mode, and so is your mate. So you treat her or treat him as such. Best friend. Prosperity partners. Partner for life. A partner. Think of that word means, a partner, you know? Someone you can depend on. You see, yeah. With the yin to your yang. Me say it like that even. Yeah, for sure. You know? Okay. Now, we're going to talk about identifying and managing emotion. We're going to talk about eventually how the brain works. I already started a little bit about the mammalian and the reptilian. Okay? We need to kind of break this down because, you know, a lot of us have real issues with our emotions. We can't, you know, when we're under pressure, I don't care how much positive scripture we read, how many counseling sessions we have, how many books, one of the best personal growth thinkers there are. We revert back to our old dark life, you know. Yeah, start cursing and start abusing physically, emotionally, you know, putting guilt trips on somebody. No, we need to get in charge of that. So we're going to do that. We'll start that process today. This is the 21st installment. I don't know how long it's going to go. We'll go until we're finished. All right? Okay, very good. All right, this chapter, you know, I'm going through the areas of the book that apply to this area of healthy, spiritually connected marriages. Okay? All right, now I'm on the identifying and managing emotions chapter. That's where I am. Okay? This chapter has enormous benefits as we are addressing critical issues of concerns All right? With our marriages. You see? Yeah. The need to identify, define, and managing the various emotions we are experiencing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See? We're all inundated with messages that sanction domestic violence, societal violence, wholesale disrespect toward everyone, illicit drug use, criminal lifestyle, sexual promiscuity, adultery. Those things are there. You see? Yeah. Non-recognition of family, healthy family values. You see? That's very important. All right? Now, like I've said before, I go back into childhood experience because it's very important to understand that we came from somewhere. So we have to go back and talk about childhood experiences to understand what we need to have in our adult life, okay? Now, being products of our environment, okay, we as children were not only reflect what's around us, we accept those influences as normal to the point of actually being our environment. You see, if someone gets hurt from our accepted lifestyle, you know, if someone gets hurt, okay, or someone hurts us from the lifestyle, you know, people will blame the victim for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. If we do it, we blame the victim. You know, we take no responsibility. You see, we know youth, maybe your own childhood self. Matter of fact, when I say child self, I'm talking about the younger self you once were. Younger self you once were, the flesh and blood person you once were. That's why I tell all my clients to get pictures of those little, you know, get those little pictures when you're like, you know, 5 to 9 years old or so, somewhere around there, and where you can see those eyes looking into the camera. Clip those out and put them on your computer monitor or your mirror, refrigerator door, someplace where you can see those pictures every day, and then send love into those little eyes. This is how we start the process of loving our child self. Yeah, yeah. You know? We know youth, or maybe our own childhood self, who have caused some pain in our lives to the point of wanting a different direction for ourselves and possibly our offspring, you know? You know, many youth are having multiple births before they are out of high school. You know that. They are looking for new tools. Their old tools will only provide what they have been receiving, which is more hurt, misery, pain, poverty, unsuccessful experiences, unhealthy relationships, and short-lived jobs. They're used to getting angry and then reacting to the anger violently. We got to talk about our environments because those things fed us. What we experienced in the past, they fed us. They gave us the idea or the standards of what is wrong, what is right. What we accepted, what we did not accept. Okay? So in this chapter, we're going to clearly define emotions separate from feelings, define and explain emotional intelligence, or I call EQ, along with its benefits, explain the physical and emotional effects of different emotions and feelings, and how we manage our emotions using and developing our EQ. Okay? We will know ourselves better, make better choices, apply consequential thinking. I'll explain that. Evaluate and re-choose. Motivate ourselves and choose optimism as our daily regimen. Yeah. We will also learn to give of ourselves, develop empathy for others, learn how to pause before anger sets in, and use the analytical part of our brain, which offsets the anger response. Recognizing the signs of danger and protecting our peaceful state of mind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. So we got a little nice little haul here we're going to do. All right? Yeah, for sure. Like I said before, if you have any questions or you want to comment, you can always hit the number one on your telephone pad, or you can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Okay. Now, the wild horse metaphor is one that paints the picture of the benefits of having emotional intelligence. The wild horse is symbolic of our raw, uncultured, untamed potential and also appetites of the flesh. Yeah. When we get the horse contained and controlled, It will do us absolutely, yeah, until we get the horse contained and controlled, it will do us absolutely no good. All right, man, let me get it right here. When we learn how to catch the horse, pull it into a corral, boundaries, we can then tame the horse, ride the horse, and basically make the horse serve our needs. Yeah. When we learn how to harness our potential and the appetites of the flesh, we pull them into a controlled setting. Yeah. Then we can examine it and afterwards use, ride, that potential, making the best of it as it improves our lives. Yeah. We will then be successful. See, our potential is now realized, and we are reaping the rewards. Mm-hmm. We're now directing and controlling, you know, riding our potential and fleshly appetites on a battlefield where there's imminent danger, and also in the city where there's lust and temptation. The appetites of the flesh are now not lusting for the filth of the world, but have a hunger for purity and moral excellence. Yeah. All right, before anger sets in, we always get a sign. So what we have to do is learn how to set up mental detour signs to redirect the oncoming negativity so our peace is not disturbed. Yeah. This is very important. I want everybody to check this out. Very important. See? Yeah. We start by noticing any kind of change to occur. Sweating palms, heart rate increasing, breathing rhythm starting to change, heart starting to tingle, nerves in the spine getting agitated, jaw tightening, fist clenching. Yeah. Every thought we think and every word we speak sends messages into the universe, creating energy which comes back to help us or to hurt us. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we sending out there? What are you guys sending out there right now? We protect our peaceful state by being guardians over our thoughts. When a particular thought starts going astray, we ought to pull it back or immediately replace it with a good and loving thought. All right, yeah. Now think about that. See, a lot of us have anger issues. We get mad and don't know why. And we have extreme cases in relationships, marriages where, you know, the husband goes off and even physically harms, hits the wife in the jaw and give her a black eye. Then feels so bad about it and hugs her and says, "Oh, baby, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I don't know what became of me. You know, I don't know why I did those things." You know, or they might go to another extreme point by saying, "Dear, why did you do that? Why did you do that to make me do that to you? No, why? I love you, and you keep on, you know, pushing me to the point where I have to hit you. Why do you keep doing that, baby? I don't like. I love you. I don't like doing this to you, but you keep making me do it." Boy, yeah, those things are real out there. You know, what I'm trying to do now is look at the beginning signs. That's why I mentioned sweaty palms, heart rate increasing. When you start getting those called antecedent, that is what happens before that you actually notice they're recognizable signs, okay? Yeah, very important, you know? So when we analyze faulty behavior, we start by examining the A, B, C of the situation. A stands for antecedent. What came before? Where the problem originated? Now, this is sometimes in the subconscious, but it manifests in some subtle physical ways, like I mentioned, sweaty palms, heart rate increasing, breathing rhythm starting to change, hair starting to tingle, nerves in the spine getting agitated, jaw tightening, fist clenching. Those are some subtle physical manifestations of stress building up, okay? They're called A for antecedent. B stands for actual behavior, what you're actually witnessing. And C stands for consequences, what happened as a result of the behavior. Too many times when adults intervene in escalating arguments or fighting. They don't go far enough when they ask, what happened here? Who started it? What started it? You see? Now, what adults get when they ask youth the same thing, what they get in these sometimes public settings where other youth are present, you know, is the response that the troublemaking youth is comfortable in verbalizing. See, he or she doesn't feel safe talking about what the real antecedent is unless the adult knows how to ask the right questions in the right safe environment. Okay? Now, in the book, I talk about an example with a principal and two kids are fighting. So I'm gonna go beyond that. You know, the whole idea is looking at empathy. Empathy is much better to look at in trying to feel what the other person is. But first of all, we need to get out our emotional state. That's why I tell youth when I was teaching to, when you feel those antecedents, start doing math problems. Start doing something that's logical. What happens when you do that? You shift the blood from the back to the front. From the back, which is the mammalian and the reptilian part, emotional instinct, you know, base to the front, where there's logic and reasoning and discerning. Yeah, this happens. When you can do that, you shift the emphasis. You shift what you are receiving and perceiving as danger to a mindset of logic. So that's a little tip I'm giving right there, okay? Very important, all right? Yeah, so you can do that. So that's why it's important to understand how to get out of that situation, okay? Yeah. So emotions, I'm talking about emotions here. Emotions occur when there are certain biological, experiential, and cognitive states which all occur simultaneously. Now, biological pertains to activity or state of your physiology, something inside of you physically. Experiential pertains to experience, what you dealt with personally. Cognitive pertains to your thinking, the state of your mind, okay? Yeah. So emotions originate from exposure to specific situations. The nature and the intensity of the emotion are usually related to cognitive activity in the form of the perception of this situation. Hear me now. That thought process or perception results in the experience and or the expression of a related feeling. Emotion is an umbrella term which includes the situation, the interpretation and perception of the situation, and the response or the feeling related to the perception of the situation. I'm speaking real slow on purpose. I'll break this down even more so as we go along. Feelings are more conscious and are the response part of the emotion. Feelings are a learned response in the culture in which we grew up. Emotions are our responses to the world around us, and they are created by the combination of our thoughts, feelings, and actions. See, we create our own emotions. Our responses are shaped by our thoughts. See, by what we tell ourselves. Yeah, hear this. Please hear this. As we clarify our understanding of our beliefs and patterns, we learn that we are actually choosing our own lives. We are the co-creators of our lives, in case you didn't know that. We are the molders of our lives. It is we that take responsibility for the outcome of our lives and nobody else. Now, there's no more blaming our parents, teachers, other family members, peers, and media influence for the maladies and tragedies in our life. The cards are in our hands. We pick the card that we want. We drive on the road of our pleasure, and we each create the path of our desires. Yeah, that's right. A lot of us don't want to take that kind of responsibility. It's your fault. It's your fault I haven't progressed, I haven't been successful. You held me back. If it wasn't for you, I could have been a lot further than I am right now. Yeah. Yep, we say that a lot. See, emotions are the whole experience. It is what comes before the feeling. Here are some examples. The feeling is depression. The emotion is sadness or anger. Now, you follow me? Again, emotions are the whole experience. It is what comes before for the feeling. So again, the feeling is depression. I'm feeling depressed. The emotion is sadness or anger. Okay? Now, here's an example. Here's one. The feeling is anger and rage. The emotion is fear of abandonment and loneliness. See? What comes first? Okay. All right. For some kids, when you ask them, how did that feel? Their answer is, well, that feels like the time when I got lost in the mall. That is their emotional response. You can't capture that emotion by saying, I was really scared, and which is simply a feeling response. I was really scared. That feeling and the situation are wrapped up together. Yeah. Emotional intelligence, EQ we call it, means to integrate emotions and awareness. Align feelings and reason. Direct actions with vision to solve problems. Resolve conflicts. Creatively enhance inter and intra-personal relationships. It is a combination of knowing yourself, choosing for yourself, and giving of yourself. All of us have problems in that area. It includes the skills, habits, and understanding, which shapes our thoughts, feelings, and actions in our relationship with ourselves and with others. Mm-hmm. It involves the ability to perceive accurately, appraise and express emotion, access and generate feelings when they facilitate thought, regulate emotions to promote emotional and intellectual growth. Mm-hmm. It is also the capacity for recognizing our own feelings and those of others, motivating others, yeah, managing emotions well in ourselves and in our relationships. Now I'm going to give you a quote by Daniel Goldman. He's the one that actually coined the term EQ, and actually a lot of this came from his book, summarized from his book called Emotional Intelligence, Daniel Goleman. He says, emotional intelligence, being able to motivate oneself and persist in the face of frustrations, to control impulse and delay gratification, to regulate one's moods and keep distress from swamping the ability to think, to empathize, and to hope. Yeah, Daniel Goleman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recommend that. Be a very good book for everybody to read. Yeah. Identifying our emotions and feelings, all right? We have to identify our emotions and feelings. We got to do that. This is so important for marriages. You know, it's so important for you to be the healthy marriage mate. Yeah. If you're in the fiancé stage, your engagement stage, really spend some time in this area before you say I do, before you do that. Yeah, yeah, very important. Mm-hmm. We as healthy, conscious adults should be introducing the various feelings and emotions as early as possible to our children. Yeah, so our children can know, differentiate their feelings. See, I'm telling you, if we as children heard a lot of intellectual conversation, expanding our vocabulary at a young age, understanding how to really express ourselves, we'd be in a lot better shape right now. But remember, you know, we came from broken parents, most of us did. So they didn't know themselves. But when children really know how to express themselves, man, you can get a lot done. Yeah. See, children, they need to know consciously what horror feels like internally, as opposed to feeling scared. Yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. For example, at age of 5, you're going to write the word horror in big letters on a white or blackboard or big construction paper. then you can demonstrate the word by putting on either a monster movie or some other scary one, or act out a scary scene so the child will get the idea. They will know afterwards that a horror feeling came when they viewed something that was scary but didn't affect them personally, whereas the scary feeling came when they were personally affected. Okay? Now your 5-year-old has internalized the difference between scary and horror. They now have added a new word into their vocabulary. The more our youth can clearly identify the emotions and feelings, the clearer their problem will be to you. Just think of if you had that when you were a kid. The child will now know how to address what they are going through. So you can't produce a solution to a problem when you problem. Yeah. So a lot of us as adults have a very low vocabulary for feelings, you know? Yeah, there's another book I recommend you read by a gal named Carol with a K, Carol K. Truman. The book is called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. Again, Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. Yeah, I read the book. Matter of fact, I summarized a lot of information in that book in this chapter. Absolutely. And, yeah, it's important for us to understand that so we can be more in touch ourselves as to what we are feeling. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's very important for us to understand that. You see? All right? So get that. You see, when you neglect your feelings, what you are really doing is disrespecting and dishonoring your own soul, your inner child. You can't neglect your feelings. A lot of us want to do that. We love the world of denial. Denial, yeah, wonderful river to wade in, right? Denial, yeah, we like that because it's comfortable and it's familiar. Don't do that. Don't neglect your feelings. See, if you don't have this ready by the time you get ready and get married, and you get married, all this comes into the marriage, becomes part of the marriage, yeah, equation. That's right. Mm-hmm. And your wife or your husband, you know, will feel that you're not being fair because you're relating, you know, to them, you know, through your voice you had in childhood. Yeah, for sure. See, when you when you neglect your feelings, believe me, you're going to pay dearly sooner or later. It may be in a form of depression, unexplained moodiness, quick temperaments, feelings of uneasiness, discontent, feelings of unfinished emotional business in the past that has created an emotional block, preventing you from proceeding to enjoy life fully. Hear this, please hear this. So your inner child is not going to allow you to disrespect it for long. Your inner child will strike back, and you will feel its wrath in one form or another. You see, we have to honor and respect our inner child in order to have a truly peaceful, balanced, loving, happy life and a happy marriage. We have to also guard our soul or our inner child from the attacks of others. We have to guard. Oh, yeah. We have to be our inner child's best friend. Yep. This will be demonstrated as we clearly visualize our new relationship with our real child self. Oh, yeah. You got to be your own hero. Yeah, really important to understand that. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is why it's so important for us to have some things in mind. You know, we spend a lot of time, I mentioned this so many times on these programs, spend a lot of time in school learning to become, if you want to become a doctor or brain surgeon, you know, lawyer, you have to spend a lot of time in school, a lot of intern work, a lot of testing, dissertations, writing, studying, researching, spending countless nights in library or online. You have to do a lot of research, a whole lot. Why? Because in order to the public to accept you, to operate on them or to solve problems on those levels, they have to know that you know what you're talking about. So we'll do that. We'll make some nice money doing that. We don't spend no focused time on what it takes to have a happy, healthy marriage. Can't say, well, you know, God says this about marriage. God says the man's supposed to do this, the woman's supposed to do that, and that's it. See how that works for you in the real life by itself. We have to honor that person, our mate, honor the soul that's within them. You see? When you merge your lives, that's what marriage is, a merging. When you merge, that means you're becoming one. Yes. That takes mutual respect. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what a true partner is. You see? You know? Your right hand, left hand are the same body. There's no separation. When she gets hurt, you're hurt. When he gets hurt, sister, you're hurt. Absolutely. You're not satisfied if the other person is discontented. No. No. You don't smile if the other person is frowning or in pain. You don't do that. You feel their pain. You also feel their success and joy. Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's why it's so important to understand this whole idea of managing emotions, because you got to do that. All right. It is important to know how our body is affected when various emotions are experienced. I'm telling you, I'm sharing some information that those of you who have, I won't say anger issues, but emotional mismanagement, say it like that, can really benefit from this information. Okay? Because we got to love ourselves and love our mates. Love one another. Be joyous and happy. Yeah. All right? Now let's look at some emotional effects and how it is on the body. Okay, rage. Rage, for example, affects the heart and circulation as the face reddens or becomes purple, with the veins on the forehead and neck becoming distended. Rage. Yeah, rage. Let me tell you about rage. Rage is also akin to insanity. When enraged, you cannot think straight. You cannot honor yourself or the other person when you're enraged. People say you see red. You'll even kill when you're enraged. That's right. You'll take someone's life when you're enraged. Yeah, absolutely. There's no thinking there. That's why, like I was saying before, we have to understand the antecedents. The antecedents. Learn what happened before the rage. You see? But right now, I'm just letting you know what happens to the body when you have these various emotions. Okay, rage, you got that. Okay, joy. Joy, when intense, leads to various purposeless movements like dancing, clapping, and loud laughter. Hey! All right, good thing. Mm-hmm. Fear and distress activate the limbic system at the base of our brains. Back there in the two-thirds area, I was talking about the mammalian and reptilian part of our brain. Okay? This shuts off the cerebral cortex where creativity and problem solving live. Remember I was talking about that? Yeah. So again, fear and distress activate the limbic system at the base of our brains. Okay. This is why you can abort the feeling of rage and hostility by consciously shifting your focus from the object of your anger or stress to a problem solving mode. Remember I was talking about that? Yeah. Calculations and logic-based activity, yeah. Right when you feel the stress of anger beginning, at the very, very beginning, start thinking about math equations, computations, the multiplication tables, you know. When you do this, you are making a brain shift from the limbic system at the brain base to the cerebral cortex, which is at the top toward the front part of the brain. You cannot remain angry when you are in a problem-solving mode. Please hear that. I'll say it again. You cannot remain angry when you are in a problem-solving mode. You can't even be angry and solve problems at the same time. The brain won't allow you to do it. It says you can't do that. One or the other. Choose. This is one tool I've given to you all the time when I'm conducting workshops. We need to know the precursor of this anger. We need to know how the body changes as we prepare for this negative energy or stress. Very important to understand, but I'm telling you. And sister or brothers, you know, if you're living with someone who's abusive to you, emotionally or physically, first of all, you don't deserve to be there. You deserve only the best. Realize that the other person, the abusive person, they don't realize this process. They don't get it. For your own safety, get out of there. Pray for the person. All right? Yeah, so being in tune with our separate body parts is very, very important. See, when we are in a very calm state, physically and emotionally, Our bodies are at a level zero on the stress gauge. See, this level is considered your baseline, where you can use it as a measurement to judge every other emotional or stressful experience. You should know at any given time how your body parts are doing. Just imagine security cameras focus on your individual body parts, and you are in your own security booth, constantly looking at the screens, making sure that there's no disturbance anywhere. Can you picture that? Yeah. As soon as any change is detected, you go right into action to prevent any further disturbances, thus cutting off the possibilities of an escalated stress level and its accompanying package of side effects. Woo! Yeah. Boy. Oh, yeah. Very important. There are plenty of symptoms of pre-stress conditions that should alert you that impending doom is lurking if something is not done soon. Some of the most common pre-stress and stress symptoms are, I mentioned this earlier, sweating, upset stomach, muscles feeling tense, feeling like crying, fast breathing, shaking hands, cold hands, shaky legs, heart pounding and beating fast, tight feelings in your chest, an overwhelming sense of worry, dry mouth, inability to sit still. Ooh, these are good ones. These are good ones. Another thing, too, when you find yourself sweating or beginning to be like this, sit down. Sit down. One thing for Muslims out there, I know I'm speaking to a universal audience, but to our Muslim audience, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that when you're feeling the beginning of anger, sit down. If that doesn't work, lie down. It's kind of hard to get angry when you're laying on the floor. We know it's the beginning of any of these changes in your body. It will be wise on your part to intervene right away. Do something to divert your attention away from the source of the stress. Having different calming techniques available for your use anytime is invaluable, as you can choose which technique would be appropriate for your situation. Okay? Yeah. When I read stories about the personal development masters and they are discussing the topic of managing emotions, they all agree on using meditation as a daily tool. I talked about that earlier. Progressive relaxation is another calming tool that is universally used. In meditation, you're concentrating on one idea or entity as you're also giving attention to your inhaling and exhaling process. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I meditate every day. Excuse me. Yeah, for sure. Now, one thing I want to tell you, you know, it's very important, to do. In the morning, it's been said by personal development specialists that the sound they call it ah meditation. Ah is so useful in the morning. Ah is the sound of creation. You see, if you look at the various names of God throughout the ages, they have ah in it. You know, Brahma, Yah, Ra, Allah. You see? And even when a mother's giving labor, a lot of times she's saying, ah, ah. It's still the same expression. And it's the sound of creation. Go, hey, you know, baby's about to pop out of there. Ah, oh my God, ah. Right? Yeah. So it would be bad to use that in the morning. Now, of course, you know, myself, I use that as my mantra. I say, Allah, 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 over and over and over again. Muslims call it thikring, you know, remembering Allah. And I meditate on that sound, you see, and it cleans the slate, you know. It gives you a fresh slate for the day, you know, and, you know, if there ain't any kind of ill feelings going on from yesterday, it's clear right then and there. So you don't carry negativity from the past, from yesterday into today. Yeah, we know that our prophet, Muhammad, was meditating in the cave. Yeah, for sure. That's a very good way to meditate. Allah, Allah, Allah. Yeah, very important. Mm-hmm. All right, there are various ways to calm down. And you know, I'm taking my time with this because, you know, even though you might not have an issue with anger, you might have your emotions pretty much managed, or you might be okay. You might say, brother, this doesn't relate to me in my marriage. I don't have these issues. Or you might not. You know, somebody does, I bet you. And you can share this information with them. Remember, it's very important. When I'm talking about these various personal growth ideas that's in my book, Reconnected, I know that every single thing doesn't apply to every single body out there. Every shoe is not going to fit everybody. However, several things will fit you. That's guaranteed. Several things will fit you, some more, some less, depending on where you are, your conditioning, how your childhood was and so forth, cultural standards, which you accept as being okay in your life and not okay. Yeah. But believe me, several things will be applicable to you. Okay? Yeah, for sure. Now, right now, talking about anger and getting your emotions in check, that might not be. But we do know in marriage, you know, buttons are pushed. Even in the best of marriages, the wife will push the husband's buttons and the husband will push the wife's buttons. You don't do it intentionally, but things happen because you're different people. You see? And we also have to keep, you know, always got to keep our emotions in check. We always got to have to know, you know, how to respond. You see? Remember, always respond from a mindset of love and connectedness. You see? Yeah. Always respond from a state of love and connectedness. Because you are connected. Yeah, for sure. All right? Now, I talk about diaphragmatic breathing in the book, okay? Now, a lot of y'all might understand, well, you just breathe. But when you breathe in a diaphragmatic way, you get the most air into your system, and you can put the most out. You can put the most out there. Why is it necessary? Because if you put more in there, more can come out. And as you're exhaling in a longer fashion, you relax more. If you have high blood pressure, okay, this can help reduce your high blood pressure. Look, my mother's got high blood pressure. Thank God I don't have it. She has it. And she didn't believe me, but after a while, she said, let me try this. Had to do this, I call it diaphragmatic style of breathing. So I told her to take her blood pressure first, write it down, and take, several attempts at this breathing technique, and then take her blood pressure again. Sure enough, after several of these breathing cycles, exercises, her blood pressure was lowered. All right? You find yourself angry, you know, because you had some things on your mind, you're troubled, you're burdened. You can do this style of breathing, and you'll find that your mind is clear. You can think clearly now. So, oh, man, you know, you feel like at first, like, you know, your head's piling with stuff and things are piling up, and, you know, or your mate's getting on your nerves, and you can't even see straight anymore. Break away and do this kind of breathing, and you find that you can start thinking clear. And you can respond in a clear, logical format, you know, fashion, for sure. See? But this style of breathing requires you to use your stomach differently and your back muscle differently. When you inhale, instead of your shoulders going up, keep your shoulders down. Just move your body. Move your stomach out. Yeah, move your stomach out and then expand your ribs and expand your back. Yeah, expand your back. So you're going, yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. And if you want to see me demonstrate this, put my name, Nazim Rashid, N-A-Z-I-M, then R-A-S-H-I-D. Put it in Google. I'm a public figure. Put my name in Google, and you see all kinds of links to me, but you'll also see a breathing workshop, series of breathing workshops. Yeah. Because I do is also, I'm also a saxophone player. Like, you know, I'm a jazz musician too. And I teach saxophone lessons, and this is part of the lesson series, is to learn how to breathe correctly. So the purpose of really reducing your your anger and really getting yourself more in order, getting a little more in touch with your feelings and being calm and being balanced as a healthy mate should be, this style of breathing is very, very important to do in order to get to that point and be at that point anytime you want to be. So again, your stomach, your back, you're called latissimus muscles, you know, connect your waist all the way up to your shoulders, maybe your wing muscles, you want to call it that if you want to. And by expanding all that, your body's kind of like a balloon. It expands down there. And hold it 5 seconds and then blow out slowly. Blow out for 10 seconds. Yeah, hold it for 5 seconds and have 10 seconds of exhaling. You'll find you'll calm yourself down so fast. Amazing. Oh, yeah, for sure. So I encourage everybody to do that. And my book talks about, you know, that in details. And I have that free video series online. You could again put my name in Google, and you can find how to do that. Yeah, there's so many benefits to correct breathing. You know, when you practice breathing like this, you're putting more oxygen into your system. Yeah, which helps you to think more clearly, relaxing and letting go of stress, relaxing your heart. Yeah, I talked about lowering your blood pressure. You see, now after several rounds of this breathing, you will probably be a little dizzy, you know, called hyperventilating, as this is another side effect of a higher level of oxygen. And you might even start yawning. I do it all the time. You know, naturally, if you get lightheaded, sit down and take a break. Don't fall down. All right, when you really get this breathing method under your belt, you can use it in situations where you find yourself stressed. Yeah. It might be one of those meetings where the boss is acting like a non-human. Good way to put it. It might be in school dealing with peer pressure, in a marriage issue, or just internal stuff going on. As soon as you know stress is right around the corner with your name on it, you can go right into action. This is the time to go inward. Breathe deep and exhale slowly. Exhale slowly. Keeping a peaceful affirmation in mind, such as, all is well in my world. Everyone around me is celebrating my existence and is supportive in all my endeavors. I am loved. That's a good one, huh? When you breathe in this manner, we breathe in like this, you are shifting the focus in your brain. Yeah. Yeah. Breathe that in. All is well in my world. Everyone around me is celebrating my existence and is supportive in all my endeavors. I am loved. Man, that's good. That's good. All right. Now, when we're stressed and negativity becomes the dominant factor in how you're going to think and act, you're using the limbic part or the primitive part of the brain. The more specific, responsible part there is called the amygdala. It is this amygdala that emotionally hijacks the brain, and this is where psychotic rage originates. There's no rationality being done in that area. Emotionality rules in this space. Violent reactions and mindless, enraging, homicidal behavior originates in this part of the brain. Yeah, limbic system. So you got to watch that. So when you stress and negativity becomes a dominant factor or a dominant vibration, you know, you gotta act right then. Save yourself and maybe somebody else too. All right? Real important to understand that. Okay? All right, good. Well, by the way, for everybody listening, a lot of people are listening online right now. Normally, I'm talking for about an hour and 20 minutes straight. I'm cutting that down to an hour. You know, it's a long time because, I mean, most people just listen. They don't call it to have a conversation. In case you do, you can always hit number one on your telephone and I'll bring you in on the conversation. Most people just listen. That's okay. We've had a lot of increase in hits and listeners here. People are enjoying this information. But, you know, I'm cutting it down to 60 minutes, an hour for sure. So just kind of keep that in mind. Okay. Now, the neocortex. Now, when we can breathe deeply, the relaxing that follows brings our thinking to the neocortex part of our brain, where rational thought takes place. Within the neocortex system, there is a frontal lobe, and within that system, in the front part, is the prefrontal lobes. in the prefrontal lobes. They're the right side and the left side. One of the duties of the left lobe is to act as a neural thermostat, regulating unpleasant emotions. The right prefrontal lobe harbors the negative emotions, while the left one keeps them in check. Okay? All right. The left prefrontal lobe, in short, seems to be a part of a neural circuit that can switch off or at least dampen down all but the strongest negative surges of emotion. If the amygdala often acts as an emergency trigger, the left prefrontal lobe appears to be part of the brain's off switch for disturbing emotion. See, the amygdala proposes, but the prefrontal lobe disposes. Yeah, keep that in mind. All right. Being conscious. Now, catching ourselves before that blinding rage takes control is critical, because when that emotion is present, sometimes we are unable to think, to breathe, or to do mathematical problems or anything. We are controlled at that point by our blind emotions, and that is when psychotic episodes can happen. A person assaults, rapes, fights, or kills someone without consciously being aware of his or her actions. Yeah. This is why we have to be consciously aware of our mindsets, feelings, and our body parts. Yeah, yeah, we're going to stop right there. You know, man, there's so much information here. That's why, you know, once you know something, you're responsible for that. You might say, well, I didn't know that. Okay, now you do. Now that you do, you're responsible. No longer can you say, I didn't know, I was ignorant. No, you know, you're not ignorant anymore. You know now. I just told you. Yeah, yeah. I just told you. So now I'm responsible. Yeah, for sure. That's why, you know, you understand when kids are called minors, that means that they're not responsible. They haven't matured enough to be responsible for their actions. Yeah. They're not at the age of responsibility yet. But everybody listening to this show, I'm sure, is. So once you know, you're responsible for what you know. Okay? Yeah. I'm Nazim Abdul Rashid. We connected how to be a mentor to your child self. Okay? You can get this at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. My website, cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. I have a nice welcome video on there, and I got to update my events page, though, you know, because it has the old Reconnected Show episodes. And that's my show called The Reconnected Show, which happens every Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And the website is Blog Talk Radio, like this show, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Okay? And for those like to listen on the phone, a lot of you do like to call and just listen. All right, it's 1-347-994-2524. 347-994-2524. Just call the number at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Arizona Time, 10 o'clock California Time. You know, and listen, I have personal growth experts on there talking about various things. And I encourage you to listen to the show. You know, we need all the positive information we can. We have so much negativity on TV. You got Ferguson, all kind of negative things going on, and those things are real. However, we do not need to fill our brains of this all day, all night. Where is time for joy? Where is the time for happiness? Play that song by, what's that brother's name? Pharrell Williams, Happy. Go to YouTube, put Happy in, and play his song. We need to feel good every single day. We do not need to fill our brains and our consciousness with negativity, fights, assaults, and all you see on Facebook, racism and violence all the time. Where's the happiness? Where are the waterfalls? Where are the flowers? Where are couples holding hands and getting married? Huh? We have some of that. We have more negativity than we do positivity. You see, so very important to understand, if you want happiness in your life, you have to claim happiness. You got to claim optimism. Yeah, you got to do it. Smile more. Make someone else's day happy. When you go into the cashier or store, thank the cashier. Smile. Don't leave today. Have a smile on their face. Ask them how they're doing. You know? Yeah. If they ask how you doing, say, I'm doing fantastic. I feel good today. I feel wonderful. I'm excited. I'm enthused. I'm inspired. I feel great that you're serving me today. Yeah. Yeah. We need to, cheer up. And again, this has everything to do with marriages. Happier you become, happier spouse you'll be. Yeah, it's all related there too. All right, keep that in mind. Okay, so tell you what, we'll pause right there. But we're gonna have part 22. We're gonna keep on with this, you know, next week for sure. So tell a friend, tell everybody about this show, and get the book. You know, support what I'm doing because I want to be able to travel all over the world to spread this reconnected messages. All you reconnected messages out here to tell everybody that they have a choice. We do not have to have a depressed, downtrodden life. We don't have to have that. I don't care what kind of issues you've gone through, PTSD and depression. There's a way to get above those things, rise above those things. You know, claim the best for yourself, knowing that God made you in the most excellent mode. And we are to claim excellence because we know we are created in excellence. Keep that in mind. So very important. Say affirmations every single day. Do that, okay? And as you do that, you'll find that your life starts being better by itself. I have a major affirmation I created from the spirit of my book. It's called the Reconnected Creed. The Reconnected Creed, right? This is something that everybody should have on their wall and say it every day till you memorize it. It goes like this, all right? I can create, and I am creating a powerful, passionate, peaceful, positive, and productive life for myself. Unimaginable abilities. I can do anything, acquire anything, be anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God created me for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. Mm-hmm. God's spirit is in me, is a part of me, resides in me, and is directing me constantly with me being the worthy co-pilot. All great opportunities and material gain are available for my use and enjoyment. I'll be great at anything I choose to do because that's the only position I can take that I will be satisfied with. Any other problems I meet will be beneath me. I have the ability to always rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner because I am a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life I thought was only a dream, but accomplishment of my goal and joy in my soul. This is not Nazim Rashid, Nazim Abdul Rashid. I'll be back next week for part 22 with improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. I leave with the greetings of peace that only God can give you. Assalamu alaikum.